President Biden's goal is for half of all cars sold in 2030 to be electric. He signed an executive order with that target last month. The order also includes installing a 500,000 charging stations nationwide. The question is, will Nevada be ready for it? In some ways, the state's already moving in that direction. It's set a goal of zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. It's built charging stations on highways in some of the most remote parts of the state. But if people really start buying electric cars, will our grid hold up? Will there be incentives for people to buy those cars? And will auto dealerships go along with it? And most of us drive gas-powered cars. How ready will you be to switch to an electric vehicle in 7 years? Will you even be able to afford it? A big part of the greening of Nevada has to do with its energy infrastructure. And David Bobzien is director of the Governor's Office of Energy. David, welcome back.
Good morning, Joe. Good to be back.
Great to have you. So, David Bobzien, with the president's executive order targeting the sale of electric cars, how is Nevada preparing for this really sweeping change?
Well, I like to say that we certainly got a head start. You mentioned at the outset our Nevada Electric Highway program with the goal to electrify our five major corridors in the state for corridor charging. So Interstate 80, Interstate 15, US 93, US 95, and US 50. We used a lot of our Volkswagen settlement funds to get that charging going. And here we are. In 2021, we've got six stations left for that network, and we should have that wrapped up by the end of the year. So, as you mentioned, there's more to be done, and I'm looking forward to the discussion today because we can hear all about MV Energy's plans. We can certainly talk about the infrastructure bill that's awaiting action in the House right now that has $7.5 billion nationally to support charging. And so there's definitely going to be a big ramp up in terms of the infrastructure available to consumers to be able to make the charging decision a little bit easier. Certainly in Nevada, we have a unique profile in that we have so many of our residents who don't necessarily have a home, a garage, a house that they can put a charger in. They might live in an apartment, a multifamily development. And so the availability of charging that's readily available, that's dependable, is a big part of the equation. And so we've been certainly working with MV Energy on different programs to try to jumpstart the deployment of that charging. But I'm confident with both the program that's coming from MV Energy following the last legislative session, as well as the federal dollars that are coming, that we'll be able to make that change and really kind of help assist this market shift that is going to be profound and is happening right now.
You know, with the president's agenda for electric vehicles and renewable energy combined with what Nevada already is doing, how will this benefit or will, I imagine you're going to say it does, but how will it benefit Nevada's economy?
Well, I think the big thing to remember to start with is the fact that we are not an oil and gas state. Unlike many of our neighbors around the West, we don't do oil or gas production in the state. We have renewable energy, plentiful renewable energy. Certainly a lot of solar is our primary resource, but we also have plentiful geothermal resources as well. And so being able to plug vehicles into that cleaner grid means that we're not having to import fossil fuels into our state, into our economy, and we're essentially playing to our economic strengths. So not only is it a win for consumers, just in terms of how the cost of these cars is coming down and the total cost of ownership for electric vehicles is really getting to the point where it doesn't really make sense to necessarily invest in an internal combustion engine vehicle anymore. But it's also a win for us and our economy across the state.
In August, President Biden signed an executive order. He wants half of all new cars sold in the U.S. to be electric by 2030. I'm talking to David Bobzien. He's director of the Governor's Office of Energy about how prepared Nevada will be. And Kristen Averett is a key part of Nevada's green transition. She's a UNLV professor and the state's climate policy coordinator. In 2007, she was part of a team with Al Gore that won the Nobel Prize for Climate Change Research. Professor Averitt, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So I begin with, I want to ask you this question. How does Nevada compare to the rest of the country when it comes to sustainability, renewability, and how far along we are?
You know, we're actually doing fairly well. I just saw a recent report where we're actually ranked number 13 in terms of being a quote-unquote green state. And that's based on different metrics, including the health of our environment physically, as well as eco-friendly policies and the actions that we've taken on climate change. With respect to those climate change actions, we're actually ranked number 9 per that report. So there are different metrics, but, you know, hearkening back to what Director Bobzien said, you know, we have a lot of opportunity with respect to renewable energy, and that really puts us ahead of the game.
The elimination, the slow elimination of gas-powered vehicles, really the key to this, because they aren't the only things that push carbon dioxide into the air. We have buses, buildings are a big part of it, power plants. Talk about that a bit.
Right. So if you look more broadly at the greenhouse gas emissions portfolio for the state, about 36% of our total emissions come from the transportation sector. So that is planes, trains, and automobiles, essentially what we're looking at. But the vast majority, they're basically our small vehicles. They're our light-duty trucks and our cars. It's how we get from one place to another. That's really the reason that our emissions in transportation are relatively high. So we really need to do everything that we can to reduce those emissions, and transportation electrification is one piece of the pie.
Those of us living in Southern Nevada seem to, I think we feel like we're on the front lines of climate change. The summers here are longer. It's getting a lot hotter. We had record heat this past summer, like for many weeks and weeks on end. So I get this question a lot from people. Is it just too late? I mean, and you're a climate change, I'll just call you an expert. Is it too late for us to, I guess, go back to what's normal, or is it now just trying to keep it from getting out of control?
Well, about a month ago, the latest Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report came out. And that report tells us that we actually have a small window of time to get to net zero emissions. Basically, we have 10 to 20 years. And if we can get to net zero emissions, we can limit our warming to 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit. We've already realized 2 degrees Fahrenheit of warming. So we've got another 0.7 to go. And we know what 2 degrees has brought us: drought, wildfire, poor air quality. So we can expect that to get worse. But we do have the opportunity to get to net zero so that we can limit the climate impacts that maybe not just for our children, but for our grandchildren and for future generations. And I'm optimistic we can do it.
When you're talking to David Bobzien and other people behind the scenes about climate change, like how fraught with worry are those conversations?
I think that everybody, it's all hands on deck. Everybody's doing everything that they can to try and get us there. It's really a coalition of everybody at the table trying to come up with what the solutions are. At this point in time, we can't just have incremental change. We have to be transformative in terms of what we're going to be doing. And that transformation isn't just about energy infrastructure, transportation infrastructure. It's about what we're willing to do as a society. So are we willing to drive electric vehicles, and not just EVs? Are we willing to get out of our cars? Are we willing to walk? Can we take bicycles? How do we really realize that transformational change that we need to get to net zero emissions?
I want to get back to you on that, but I want to turn to somebody who is going to be very involved in the potential sale of electric vehicles, and that's Andy McKay. He's executive director for the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Andy McKay, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. You're hearing what we're talking about here. Car manufacturers have already expressed willingness to help the U.S. reach the goal of 50% electric vehicles by 2030. But I wonder if there's, or what you see, I guess, from the auto dealers in this state as to the challenges of getting to that goal.
I don't know. You know, challenges, you know, there are many. And I think you've hit on them, and the state from a policy standpoint is addressing them. One is with respect to charging infrastructure. As Mr. Bobzien alluded to, you know, SB 448 passed this past session is going to really be transformative in the form that there's going to be $100 million invested by MV Energy for charging infrastructure. That really dovetails into what he also mentioned, the development of the electric highway. Not only does limited options for EVs create a challenge for consumer acceptance, it's the range anxiety. And when you look in terms of the infrastructure development, it's going to really address the second part of that. As for the former, you know, it's worth mentioning for your viewers, you know, the manufacturers are going to invest over a third of $1 trillion in R&D between now and 2025. This year alone, they're going to bring 18 new EV models to market, 34 next year, and then over 100 by 2025. So you're going to see really, really transformative action from the manufacturers relative to product availability for us to offer to the consumers.
You know, people now are used to buying cars, used cars especially. I mean, just look at CarMax, which specializes in resales. On previous shows here, I've talked with people who own electric cars, and I've said, well, they're just too expensive. Or a lot of people will say they're too expensive, and they'll say, well, buy a used car, buy a used electric. But people always have this fear. If it's a used car, the battery is used, and it won't be as strong as a new battery. How are auto dealers, or how will they reassure people about used electric cars?
Well, I think ultimately it's like any used vehicle. You know, there are various factors that go into obviously the pricing, and then the life cycle of the vehicle, and that's age, mileage, and frankly the geographic location of where that vehicle came from. You know, our dealers were investing literally in Nevada alone tens of millions of dollars in EV infrastructure. So the ability to do a diagnostic on that battery and make a determination what is the battery life potentially on that. As it sits today, is it 85% of capacity, 90% of capacity, 70% of capacity, and at which point that certainly will affect the value of the vehicle, and you know, we'll work with the consumers to provide that information, and then they'll make a conscious and educated decision on the route they want to go.
You know, as the executive director of the Franchised Auto Dealers Association in this state, what are dealerships talking about in regard to this now? Are they talking about it a lot, or what's going on behind the scenes?
Oh, certainly. You know, there's a recurring thing that is that you're going to hear not only from Nevada, but I would say, you know, across the entire union is that dealers are all in on EVs. It ultimately is the path, and that's where we're going to be going. This is a ship that's left the dock, and you aren't going to stop it. We're excited for it. When you just look in terms of our board of directors, we have several members of our board of directors that they just drive electric vehicles. And you're going to see more and more of that as we get more product availability to our consumers. Not to get into the weeds, but frankly, the topic du jour right now is just the ability to get any type of vehicle available to our consumers to sell, because as you and prior your listeners are aware of, there's a mass problem relative to microprocessor, and microchip shortages, which is basically ground vehicle protection to a halt. So that's a whole other ball of wax that we're dealing with that's going to be quite prolonged.
You mentioned something a little bit earlier. I just want to go back to it real quick. What is the significance of where an electric vehicle comes from? In terms of its, if it's a used vehicle you're talking about, a lot of it will depend where it comes from.
Fair enough. No, what I meant by that is batteries, as you're aware of, and your listeners are probably aware of, perform differently in different environmental conditions. The range in the optimal performance in cold climates and really hot climates can adversely impact not only the performance of the battery, but the life cycle of the battery as well. So that is what a factor can go into how reliable long-term, and let's face it, electricity is a form of fuel for these type of vehicles, and how far can you get that how far can you utilize that fuel to get you from point A to point B?
I gotcha. That's Andy McKay. He's executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. President Biden wants to see half of all new cars sold by 2030 to be electric. It's part of his Build Back Better plan. And we're talking about the readiness of Nevada for that plan. And actually, Nevada has been moving toward electric vehicles through its Clean Cars in Nevada initiative. Greg Lovato is with the state's Division of Environmental Protection. Greg, welcome back.
Thank you, Joe. Good morning.
Yeah, great to have you, Greg. The Clean Cars Nevada initiative, what is this program doing?
So Clean Cars Nevada is, we're addressing what is one of the most significant both greenhouse gas emission sources as well as just common air pollutants such as ozone that we're struggling with in urban areas in Nevada by requiring lower emissions from light-duty vehicles. And so we're talking about, you know, light-duty vehicles make up about 2 million in Nevada, and we sell in Nevada about 120,000 roughly a year over the past 5 years. And so what we're doing here is we're putting in place standards for model year 2025 that go on sale in calendar year 2024 to, you know, bring this clean vehicle technology to Nevada, increase the availability of options, and really, you know, start to make a dent in mm-hmm. greenhouse gas emissions that, you know, we're going to need to meet our greenhouse gas emission goals in 2025, 2030, and towards 2050.
Now, obviously, to reach those goals, in the best of all worlds, we'd have zero greenhouse gas emissions. To do that, even to get partway there, I wonder if the state is considering, or maybe it already has, I just don't know about it, incentives to people to buy electric vehicles.
Right. So, you know, we're seeing that to make these more aggressive reductions, I mean, the state is selling between 3 and 4% probably of new vehicles, of zero emission vehicles as it stands now. But to make these more aggressive goals, you talked about the one from President Biden, California has more aggressive goals of 70% by 2030. And if we're going to be looking at some of those different goals, you know, we need access to infrastructure. The state's investing in that. And there's also a need to invest in making these vehicles affordable. And I think that's changing over time. You know, there's increasing information that, you know, we're going to be seeing equivalent purchase price for sedans within 5 to 7 years. And even now, you know, all the available information we're seeing is that Nevada is a bit unique among states in that it has relatively lower charging prices per kilowatt hour and relatively higher fuel costs. And so, you know, for those who are going to hold on to their vehicle for a while, it's actually beneficial economically to move to for a new vehicle to move to an electric vehicle.
Yeah, I read online that the cost to charge a electric vehicle is $30 to $60 a month. I think that's a lot cheaper than people pay for gas right now in a month. Is that something that you're putting in your marketing programs here to get people to push toward electric vehicles?
Well, I think for us, you know, we're focused on trying to, you know, put in place a program that's going to give access to folks, and I think access to electric vehicles for everyone. But I think, you know, the higher percentage adoption rates, you know, if you're talking about 50 or 70%, there is going to be a need for consumer education. As Andy McKay mentioned, you know, I know that, you know, the auto dealers are fully behind this. The manufacturers are fully behind this. We did have a sort of a broad support from everyone to, you know, move this and make it as successful as we can. But clearly, you know, emission standards are going to have to be accompanied by investments in infrastructure and affordability.
Now, the Clean Car Initiative, as I understand it, is under review by a legislative commission. If it's put into place, is there a projection about the potential growth in electric car ownership?
Right. So we just passed the State Environmental Commission as well as the Department of Motor Vehicles approval. That all happened in beginning of September, and now we're looking forward to review by the Legislative Commission. And the projection for right now is for that model year 2025, we're looking at trying to get from, right now we're at 3 or 4%, we're trying to get between 8 and 10% of new vehicles by that model year 2025. And so that's, you know, we think that it's likely we could do even better than that. As Andy McKay mentioned, there's going to be more availability. And so with more availability and more choice that we've seen introduction of these regulations bring in the 13 other states that have already adopted them, including California, as well as the most recent being Minnesota, we're hoping to see that with more options, they'll be more attractive for consumers.
And we are talking about electric vehicles in the state and really the electrification of our highways, because in August, President Biden signed an executive order. He wants half of all new cars sold in the U.S. to be electric by 2030. It's part of what's called the Build Back Better plan. And in Congress, they're also debating the most expensive climate change initiative in history at some $3.5 trillion. If the cars come to Nevada, though, will we be ready for it? And that means, will we have enough electricity to supply power to the vehicles that are being charged at home or at e-stations around the state? Now joining us is Marie Steele. She is the Electrification Director at NV Energy. Marie Steele, welcome back to State of Nevada.
Thanks. Thanks for having me in the conversation with these great folks.
Well, thanks for being here. You know, NV Energy partnered with the Governor's Office of Energy on the Electric Highway. This was an infrastructure plan to build charging stations on our highways. How is that coming along since it began in 2015?
Well, I think as Director Bobzien said, you know, in the phase two expansion to get across the whole state is, I think, should be wrapped up this year. And, you know, I think, you know, creating that and fixing that range anxiety issue really has helped. And, you know, NV Energy was even involved in charging infrastructure before that in 2013 with our charging station shared investment program, really deploying infrastructure for more for that convenience charging, whether it's at your government agencies, the airport, casinos, or malls. You know, so we've been really been proactive in making sure the infrastructure is being built out as the market develops.
And this is the question I get a lot from people. Even beginning last year, people were asking me about it as more the conversation of electric cars came out. Is NV Energy prepared to withstand an influx of all these electric vehicles, so let's say over the next 10 years, through its infrastructure? Will there be enough juice either coming here or developed here, created here through renewable energies or that you can purchase?
The answer is yes. So, you know, as part of a utility, we do our long-range planning, and we've been planning, you know, for electric vehicle load, whether it's in our integrated resource plan for that energy supply component, and also as part of our distributed resource plan for more of that local grid impact. And so we're actively looking at that and how we integrate load, and then as well, you know, as we're trying to expand into a much larger clean energy economy, you know, proposing transmission development for more renewable energy development. So it's part of a holistic long-range planning, both at the macro and micro level.
And I mentioned a bit earlier the cost of charging a vehicle. This is what I'd read online, that the average cost for someone who drives 1,000 miles a month is said to be between $30 and $60, and 80% of the charging now happens at home. Now, it might make sense to see that that price going down as more power generators are constructed, or is it more likely, like gasoline, we'll see this never-ending creep upward in the price?
Oh, God, that's not what I'm planning for. I think, you know, especially for electric vehicle load, it's flexible. And so if we can charge it when it's off peak. So right at Nevada, if you're doing standard charging, it's about $30 a month. But if you do charge it off peak, you're about $14 a month for that same 1,000 miles. And as we grow electric vehicle load and you keep it flexible, we actually have an opportunity to put downward pressure on rates as we move forward, filling in those valleys. So I think this is actually a great opportunity as well when you think of vehicles, too, as mobile batteries. So you're really starting to use different assets on the grid to really manage the grid and the opportunity to decrease rates in a more managed load.